So TH, so the little Chinese, as we used to call them, and the big Americans, as we used to call them. What's going on? Well, in my view, to put it very simple, those little Chinese, they were very poor, like 40 years ago or something, because they're, you know, they went through a rough time there, 100 years or so, with a, which didn't start with communists, but that was a reaction to, you know, you had the Opium Wars and you had all these colonialists down there trying their best or worst rather to take over China, just as with other countries in Asia and Africa and South, I mean, all over the place. So then, because they are smart, I lived there for a year altogether, and with Chinese people, ordinary Chinese people, and learned about the country. They're very smart people, very nice people. But I have to say, in average, seeming smarter than the average people around here where I live in Sweden, what to speak of America. And you know, they really got down to it. They became our factory. Now I heard like 90% or more of all the electronics we buy in our shops all over the world are made in one city of China, Shenzhen, however you pronounce it. That's the neighbor north of Hong Kong, which was a fishing village 30 years or so ago. But now, well, so, and that was so good, right? Because all these rich, fine, cool tech companies over there in the US and elsewhere, they found this smart trick. Let's move our production over to China, because they are much cheaper. Ooh, then we can make more profits. So they did, and China became the factory of the world, basically. And then, of course, we liked then to criticize China because of their dirty industry, just like we had here in Europe not so long before, until we moved everything to China, you know, the coal-powered industry and all of that, okay? So great, now all the dirty job is done much, much cheaper over there. We don't need to have factories and, you know, employees and all that mess, and that, you know, whatever pressure the government puts on you when you are an industrialist. It's, they take care of that, and we just take the money and we sell them, and we package these products very, very nicely in cool ways and market. We are good at that. Marketing, making these things that we make look like candy and jewelry and, you know, very, very, very important and valuable and beautiful. And so then everything went on like that. But then these other countries, this other country over there and others with them, with it, China, started becoming rich. And people there, the little Chinese, they were working. You could notice that they were working very hard. And they're good at it. Ooh. Look at how nice technology they make for us. And so cheap. So then... we have to look out for them. They are possible competitors. We are now becoming dependent on them instead of them on us. Because all the raw materials are in their country or in their countries of their friends. And oops, those there in Africa and Middle East that we used to colonize. It's getting a little... those who were smart and clear in their minds could see there is potential risk here. So just to make sure that we protect our interests in the world, let's do these tariffs and sanctions and this and that. Economic war. That's part of running a country as a business. You know, you have to be tough towards your competitors. But then, you know, the surprise comes. That, oops, this country that China has like 1.4 billion citizens. And there's its neighbor down there in India about the same. And they are friends now. Whoosh. We were hoping they would be enemies forever. Which the British thought they made sure back then. And they had to leave. And, oh, the other ones over there have also quite a few people. And, oops, there's something called BRICS here now. And, oops, that's like half the world population. And they're friends and they're working together and they're not colonizing and exploiting each other and fighting with each other. They even shake hands and at least decide they should try stopping fighting. You know, all those things, we have to look at that big picture. And now we have, because the big empire there in the West wants to be the world empire. That's what an empire is, you know. Rules the world. So you're not going to come sticking up here. Then we will show you. And if nothing else, we will, you know, take dust off our big, big Armageddon weapons, you know. Say, you know, look out. No, we're strong. Strongest. Of course, you know, they've been pounding little countries, it's called proxy wars nowadays, around the other big ones to scare them, you know, or to try to take over that little country so they can put their military bases there, and even better, to bite off a little piece of that other big nation and split it up into smaller pieces, and they call it, you know, sundering and conquering. It's just old tactic they used since they started hundreds of years ago. So but then, you know, all of a sudden, and that's where we are now, this China over there, and I could tell you 10 years ago, because I was there looking in the trade fairs and where they show their new electric car models and their future plans for electrifying traffic. I could tell then that China will be the first country, and I said it then, and they will soon produce an inexpensive electric car as I will, and take over the car market of the world. And of course then the smart people in the US and Europe, they have to protect themselves against that, so they put all these tariffs and this and that, even sanctions, whatever they call it. So it becomes very expensive to buy those, which really means they just increase taxes for their citizens, which doesn't really solve the problem, does it? Meanwhile, those who are friends there with China can buy these nice, good quality cars very cheap, and other things too, and become prosperous, wealthy nations, because they're helping each other. And these big friends, they're China and Russia and India, are working together. And they're, again, countries representing like half the population of the planet who are now working together, and it's called BRICS, and the Western, as they hardly even know it. So why not join them and our little poor, messed up country destroyed by colonialism and still not on its feet again, then destroyed by neo-colonialism and destroyed by proxy wars or this or that, which are, by the way, many more than we learn in the news. And I'm going to try and find a list of all the invasions and wars that NATO, especially the United States, have. Indulged in for the past, 20, 30, 40 years or something. But, we remember Vietnam, those of us who were at that time protesters against the Vietnam War, I was one of them. That this big super duper empire couldn't even conquer that little farmland in Southeast Asia. It would have seemed to be the easiest place in the world to take over in a week or so. They had to give up. And I still, when I think about it, I think this is really wonderful and fantastic. You can conquer the greatest high-tech armies, most powerful army in the world, with what? Guerrilla warfare almost. Just being smart and everyone helps out. You hide from the enemy and you beat them when you see them and dig under the ground, and when they bomb you, you're just somewhere else. Let them bomb. So this idea of flexing the muscle and say, if you don't look out, if you don't do what we say, we're going to bomb you back to Stone Age. Not only is it a rather brutish and primitive way of convincing others to follow your way, but maybe you should also question whether your way is the best way and the only way. But also, it doesn't always work the way you thought it should work. Because when you then go into attack mode with your big muscles and machines, these other ones, even in these small little countries, sometimes don't give up. And you know, I had to leave Iraq and leave Afghanistan. And what are we going to do with it? It's not so easy to just come in, invade, military, take over a country populated by completely different people with a different culture, different ideals, different ways of thinking. And what's going on in their hearts and minds is something you can't control. Okay. Noam Chomsky saw some meme now. He said that if you can control the media, you control the mind. And there's a lot of truth in that. But if those minds hate you, have gotten their country and their lives and destroyed by you, your children killed by you, and your and our fathers and husbands and wives, then that's not so easy. So what I'm saying here, I think we should just look at the big picture. And when there is this drivel, you know, China is bad, and China is this, and China is that, and now China is going down financially too, you know, they have no idea what they're talking about. Like, the US has this debt of $34 trillion. I mean, can you even imagine how much that is? And then when there is some inflation or whatever in Russia, now the central bank there, they have to do something and change something and adjust. Then, oh, Russia's going down. Same thing in China, they have to adjust, change something. Oh, China's going down, yeah, hooray. And then, what the... If I say these people are like that, it's not a question of country here or there, it's a question of big, large groups of people. And if, you know, those people are like that, to me they are the brutes, the barbarians, the low-minded, even you could say evil. Because if you wish others bad, if you think that, yeah, these people over there in China, they are bad. They are enemies. They are stealing from us by being better than us. I mean, that's the kind of reasoning I hear. Then, yeah, but you know, competition, the good old American way means not that you kill your competitor, but that you become better. Isn't that the whole thing that people on the right and the liberals too like to talk about until their eyes glitter with little stars? The beauty of market economy. But you know, when market economy turns into war economy and war market, then something has gone very wrong. And then I see on YouTube one video after another by Americans and those from other countries. But interestingly enough, some Americans who used to go there to China, and they were astonished. They said, "This is so clean, so secure. Don't need to worry. People are so nice and peaceful and friendly. And it's top modern. They're far ahead of us in technology and all of that." Then I can only agree, because I've been there enough to know that this is true. Of course, they have their problems, just as we all have. But it's not an old totalitarian communist dictatorship government, you know, with a Mao there on top. That's just primitive, that kind of idea. And you know, if someone takes a country, if the country is taken in 30, 40 years from poverty to being the richest country in the world, which I bet China is, if not today, then very soon, then they must be doing something right, those leaders, right? And if we then just point out, oh, they are bad, they are dictators. Ooh. Is that just some emotions, you know, like dogs barking? And it's envy. But people in general, of course, they just follow what they're reading in media and they go, oh, look at them, they're bad. Why? Because the good guys told us. So what can you say, but those of us who at least have ambitions to be a bit in knowledge and know the truth and speak the truth and nothing but the truth, you know, all that, then we better look a little closer at what's going on today. And with respect, you know, we have that country over there, they're becoming really rich and they have this fantastic, you know, even they are doing a lot of work to have a green technology and economy and to cooperate with others who want to cooperate with them. Not that BRICS is some anti-West establishment. They invite everyone who wants to be part of that. It's just a kind of way of cooperating between countries, financially and communication-wise and industrial-wise and all of that, so everyone can have it good. But here in the West, we are so many people are so sunk into some kind of darkness, especially, you know, seeing the whole Eastern world as some kind of darkness. It is, because they are kept in the shades, so I cannot really see what's going on in the East. And then they think that, no, it's not possible. What you're saying is just an illusion, it's just their propaganda. But you go there and you can see it's going on. These are old cultures who have a lot of wisdom, actually. A lot of, you know, culture in the sense of having been cultivated generation after generation, so many, you know, thousands of years. You learn things and it's written down in books and passed down in India they call it parampara, the successions of knowledge carefully being preserved and passed from generation to generation within different fields of expertise. Everything from, you know, spiritual philosophical knowledge to statesmanship and handcrafts. And we may think, no, we are the best. We are modern. But, so what can you say? I mean, just as you spoke the other day, we may say anything we want about Russia and what they are doing in Ukraine, but they are freaking winning. And in a way, that is maybe something that these Western people need to see. That we can't just talk ourselves out of everything or be smart and trick ourselves out of everything. Sometimes, you know, you want to do something and your enemy is stronger than you thought. And you have to give up. And that's what a certain comedian, which he originally was. Ruling in the castle of Kiev. Maybe needs to learn. So, I mean, and Sweden, I don't know what to say. And Finland, I definitely don't know what to say. Just a few years ago, nobody would complain if you said that we should have good relations, or, you know, financial business relations with Russia and with China and with India and with all those. In fact, we could all have good relations between each other rather than fighting each other. But then, you know, someone made it look like the Russians, just unprovoked, without any reason except mad power hunger, all of a sudden started flooding in from the east there into Ukraine, and then will continue taking Poland and all the former East Soviet Union states, which is now what they wanted to do. Establish the old Soviet Union. All the meanwhile, the leaders of that country were speaking and still are speaking like that repeatedly in media. That no, they have absolutely no desire or reason to, it doesn't make any sense at all, to start invading other countries in Europe. They have a big, huge country themselves, and they are working nicely together with other, again, half the world now. They have good things going on. If they would do that, they would be the whole thing there would bricks and their situation would break. Everything they do would just, it would be insane. Yeah, but Putin is insane, and he lies. This is what you generally hear them from people. But, you know, when you say that, you can say that about anyone. I got it from religious people. Sometimes arguing with Christians, and because I'm more on the Indian tradition side, the Vedantic and Bhakti tradition and all that, and they will go, no, this Krishna is a devil. But look here, it says like this and that in the Bhagavad Gita and all those books, you know, and in China they write this, and like, no, the devil invented philosophy because it just to cheat us, bewilder our minds. We should just believe in the only true way. So this is how people can become. And that's the risk, that this is how it becomes. And then someone, you know, thinks that Now the only solution is the final Armageddon. Look, it's said there in our religious scripture, so we have to fulfill the will of God. By starting this next global destruction, which will then only leave our people left to repopulate the earth. I mean, that could be a movie script, but unfortunately, I think there are people who think like that. And they may be in Israel. You know, these hardcore Zionists, and they may be there in Islam, the hardcore Islamists, and they may be there among the Christians in the US, the hardcore ones, because they are there. A little bit here and there. So, again, I think that for us, our great, great advantage and chance is that you can do just what I do here. You can even just hold up your mobile phone and speak into it and upload it to your channel here. Takes not long time to make a channel, depending on what quality you want. But you know, there's no excuse not to. And many are doing it, and I love that. But not just talking about how to make your body look cuter, but the real life stuff. Okay, thank you for this time. Hare Krishna.